of two females and two males, if you like, or two females, really. A story where breaking the law happens, a story of a rich man and his daughter, a story of a poor woman, a story of healing, a story of touch, but above all, a story also of salvation. So I'm just going to read from Mark chapter 5 now, from verse 21. And this is a true story. I did, and I was supposed to have my implants put in, and when it came to it, didn't fit. So this is the second time of asking, and I couldn't believe it. So they spent the next 60 minutes taking impressions of me to get it right for Saturday, next Saturday, that is. So I couldn't believe it, but there we go. Right. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him. And when he says about the other side, he's going from one side to the west side. In fact, you could call this West Side Story if you really wanted to. And the west side of Galilee was the Jewish side. And the other side where he came from was known as the Gentile side. A great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him with and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and spent all that she had. And she was no better. But rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, Jairus, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child isn't dead, but sleeping." And they all laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. It's a very interesting story, but they are very much intertwined together, as you can tell by the reading. And this is part of, in the context of the scripture, it's part of four miracles in this section. The first was when Jesus was calming the storm, demonstrating his power over nature. The second was the healing of the demoniac, demonstrating Jesus' power over demons. And the third and fourth miracles we've just read, and they demonstrate Jesus' power over sickness and death. The story of the woman with a hemorrhage demonstrates great faith on the part of the woman, who had tried every remedy without success. A woman who could give up right here. The story of Jairus and his daughter shows great faith of both. Both women, interestingly enough, are called daughter, and one's 12, and the other had a disease 12 years. I don't think there's anything particularly significant in that, but those are the facts. Jairus was a man of the establishment. He was the leader of the synagogue. And his job would be to make the smooth running of the synagogue go well. Much like the leaders of our church, in a way. And he would make sure everything was run, all the facilities were okay and spot on, the place was clean, and so he had a high standing and in the synagogue. It's interesting, though, that he was a believer, because not all of them were, and Jesus' previous trip to a synagogue ended in them wanting to kill him. And his next trip to the synagogue was quite similar. They wanted to kill him again. Or in one version it says they took offense, and in Luke it says that they wanted to kill him. So for this man, Jairus, to come to Jesus and bow down before him was quite something, if you can imagine that, in front of all these people. He gets frustrated, I think, and you can just imagine he's bowing down to Jesus, asking him to come and heal his little girl, when all of a sudden, this woman, who isn't anybody in the community, is of no standing whatsoever, would be very poor from all the money she spent on doctors, and haven't we all spent money on doctors and time with them? And she had no standing in the society either. So she was a nobody, really, an untouchable, literally. Nobody could touch her. They would be ceremonially unclean. What a position to be in. She was desperate. And we've been in that situation, haven't we, many times, sometimes desperate. And I remember my father was blind. I remember it well. He died when he was 78. And he became blind by smashing a milk bottle when he was 4. And he was left in charge by his sister was supposed to be looking after him. And she obviously didn't mind him playing with a milk bottle with a hammer. Well, most 4-year-old boys would apply their knowledge of bashing things, and that's what he did. He bashed the glass, and the glass went in one eye, and he had to be taken to the eye hospital, and they took the eye out. But at that time, what they didn't realise was if there was a problem in one eye, you can get a really bad infection in the other, and it's called sympathetic ophthalmitis. So, to cut a long story short, he lost the other eye too. So, as he grew up, he coped with being blind. He went to a college for that, where they trained him his social skills and so on, trained him how to type and different things. So, but then he joined a Pentecostal church when late in his teens, early 20s. And they, of course, taught him that he could be healed. And he grabbed onto that somewhat desperately, I think, and who wouldn't, and became disappointed when he wasn't healed. So, and that's the kind of desperation that we can face sometimes. And of course, Christine faces a similar kind of situation with her daughter, who is now an alcoholic and has mental health problems, and the two seem to go hand in hand, and it's very difficult as you spend time talking to psychiatrists, doctors, social workers, nurses and so on to get anywhere, and it's the nature of the condition, and it changes. She can change so rapidly. I've never known anybody do that. But part of the conditions, you can be down in the dumps and the next minute she's on the ceiling and telling you what to do in no uncertain terms. But it's such a difficult situation. And now she's admitted herself into hospital on Friday, and today they're talking of discharging her. So this isn't really what she needs, but that's the system we live in. So it's very frustrating for Christine to be in that position. So that's a bit of desperation. But we've all been there and experienced similar things. And you can feel the drama in this situation as Jairus wants his daughter healed. And all of a sudden, this woman comes and interrupts the proceedings, and attention is took away from Jairus and his daughter. And so comes to the point where Jesus is is talking, and somebody comes to him and says, "I won't bother, she's dead." So I'll just have a drink a minute. Impatience of Jairus, frustrating, stood there, just come to the master, and that took some doing. Jesus is now faced not just with a healing, but undoing death. No remedy is possible, is it, for either of them? Was isolated, and we talk of isolation today, don't we, when we come in contact with this dreadful virus, and you hear of neighbours and people, friends who've got the virus, so you have to keep away from them and isolate. But that kind of isolation that this woman went through was a lot different. She'd be on her own completely as an outcast of society. You wouldn't be allowed to touch her. Now, she convinces herself that just touching the hem of Jesus' garment would heal her. And literally Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," or saved you. I say that word, "or saved you," because the Greek word for healing also means salvation, and it's a word called sozo, and there are different forms of it, and the discipline soteriology, which comes from this word, it's a doctrine of salvation, and the word is used for salvation as well as healing in the Septuagint. It's used to refer to the salvation of Israelites in Psalm 44, 1-8, Isaiah 43. Verse 11, I'm not going to read them. Isaiah 45, verse 21, and 1 Corinthians 1, 21. I might just read that. In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And it's that Greek word sozo that Paul used there. And so it's an important word. Particularly in this. See the determination on this woman's account to see Jesus. Because she was on the outside, an outcast, and she had to come to it, the inside, to very much in the community, to follow Jesus with all these people around, and they'd recognize her as an outcast. So she was risking a lot. And it contrasts with the Jairus' daughter, who could walk about freely up until she became ill, and she was in her home. And so Jesus had to go to her, to heal her. Jairus was also determined because he took upon himself to kneel at the feet of Jesus, bow down and plead with him to heal his little girl. Do we have faith like that? Do we believe that God can do anything for us? Yes, he can. The other thing to note is that Jairus was at the top end of society and this woman was at the bottom end. She was poor. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, Jesus loves you all. And sometimes we might think we're not good enough because of our low status, because we're just not good enough. But Jesus doesn't think like that. He is happy to deal with your need. And he showed that in this story by healing the lady with the issue, who had spent many years and much money on physicians, and it's amazing how much healthcare costs even today. When I first started learning about injecting people with eyes, and Derek will cringe the minute I mention it. So the injection was to stop people going blind with macular degeneration. And when it first came out, the NHS didn't fund it. And for one injection, it cost over £1,000. And it still costs today £600 to £800. And so because they'd need 12 injections a year, that's 12,000 a year. So they had to fork that money out. So they soon became poor. They mortgaged the houses, sold the houses, and did all kinds of things. And then the NHS decided to fund it. And healthcare can be very, very expensive. And that's just one little thing in eyes. And I can imagine this woman going across to different physicians. And in the Talmud, the Jewish book of records, they give different treatments for different conditions. And I don't know what the treatment is for this, what she had. but they didn't work, and it must have cost her a fortune. In closing, I'd just like us to think about, one, that God has the ability to heal us, the ability for things to go right, and two, he is willing, whether you're rich, poor, Gentile or Jew, to do that. The thing that we need is belief or faith. And sometimes we need a lot of belief and a lot of faith to for something to happen. And that's just the way it is. And sometimes it's the faith of the person who's praying for somehow, it seems to work, that they get healed. And sometimes it's your own faith, and it's better, I always think, that it's your own faith that Jesus sees and heals you. So let's